Let's open our Bibles to the book of Nahum chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 2 to verse 9. A jealous and avenging God is the Lord. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries and reserves wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. And the Lord will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. In whirlwind and storm is his way, and clouds and the dust beneath his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry. He dries up the river. Bashan and Carmel wither. The blossoms of Lebanon wither. Mountains quake because of him, and the hills dissolve. Indeed, the earth is upheaved by his presence, the world and all the inhabitants in it. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the burning of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken up by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. But with an overwhelming flood, he will make a complete end of his sight, and will pursue his enemies into darkness. Whatever you devise against the Lord, he will make a complete end of it. Distress will not rise up twice. Now let's read verse 7 again. 1, 2, let's go.
The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him.
Let's read one more time.
The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him.
For the last time, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. I find this word so comforting this morning. Yeah, these words are so blessed. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. The Bible says he knows those who take refuge in him. Our Father, we thank you. Thank you. You have caused us to take refuge in you. This morning we come to drink of your spirit again. We know you have heard us. You have prepared something good for each person who is listening to this. You have woken people up to come and hear the word. You have stirred them up. And we know that it's because you have prepared something special for each one of us. We receive it with thanksgiving this morning. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, because you have granted us wisdom, understanding, and insight, we declare as follows.
And
the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord is good. Now let's take our seats. Let's open our Bibles again to start this morning's teaching to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, from verse 18. I may jump a few verses here and there to save us time. Okay, if I take it from 14, because I'm going to jump, just so that we can get some reading. It says, pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it, he says, that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. He said in verse 18, I'm jumping to 18 now, for you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to darkness and gloom and whirlwind. That was what they came to the people of Israel on Sinai. You have not come to the blast of a trumpet and the sounds of words, which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further word be spoken to them. Verse 22 now says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels and to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. He now says, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking, for if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. I just want to add that to it. That's verse 25. Again, the main text we have here is the fact that it's in verse 23, where it says that we have come to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, that is the firstborn ones, who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and I listen to this, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. The spirits of the righteous made perfect. Now, I've been looking at this issue of spirit for a while. Now, just a few sessions of teaching, and that's what I want to develop further today. The issue of spirits and the judgment of spirits. Now, what I had in my mind when I was coming today is that we'll talk about the fact that the spirits, the paths of the spirit. The paths of the spirit. That is, if there is a spirit in you, this way you will know is the path you choose in life. I hope you're getting my point. Yes. The way you know the kind of spirit you have is the path you choose when you are doing things in life. And the path, please, if you go and read my tract, Predestination, I explained, and that's what I want to emphasize today, that you see, you can predict where something is going in this life. To a large extent, you can predict. The other day, my wife telling me a story in the house. And before she finished, I asked a question. And she said, my husband, let me enjoy this story I'm telling you now. Like, don't preempt it, because the kind of question I asked, it was clear I knew where the story was going. Again, one day, one of our brothers, Emeka, was telling me a story, something that happened at the airport in Enugu. And he talked about, there's a bank there that used to have an office, and talked about one particular woman. And as she was going there, I said, wait, they must have sacked her by now. He said, okay, yes, they have. I said, yes, no, this habit, that's where it goes. Now, there's a young man I know. I said, mark my words, he'll run away from this town. I don't think it was up to a year after I said that. I'd even reached Libya. Now, there was another thing we were talking about in the house the other day. As we were telling the stories, I would just say something. And then the story that is, I seem to be able to preempt that story. That, look, I said, the way you are telling this story, this is where it goes. Now, you'll be like, was I a prophet? You know, there are people say, Papa, prophesy. Yeah, I wasn't prophesying. It's an established pattern. I didn't invent it. It's not that I made a discovery that it was not known. Yes, the Spirit of God gives us insight. Reduce the impact of that. Let me not diminish the influence, okay? I'm not trying to do that. In fact, David even said that I have more understanding than my teachers because your testimonies are my meditation. So, if you focus on God's word, you will understand things. All right? Sometimes it saddens me when I talk to people because they don't have... It's not everywhere people respect what I say. Don't assume that your Pastor Vanki is Pastor Vanki to everybody. No, it's not true. I told you I have a classmate that I will say something. You say what is paining him now is that you will go and say this thing tomorrow and people will believe you. Of course, what I'm saying, people should believe it. It's from Scripture. But it doesn't have regard, number one, for the Scriptures. Number two, it doesn't have regard for me as a person to be able to instruct with the word of God. And I mean, is the spirit of is this not is our spirit as the brother is not here with us? Is this not the carpenter? That kind of attitude. Now, so where I'm going is that it pains me when people like that, you could tell them where life would go, but they don't think you know what you're saying. So many times I pray, I say, God, please, I hope there's nobody around like this, that you have given a word that can help my life, and I just discountenance it like it doesn't matter. Because many things in life, honestly, you know, the Bible says these things were recorded for our learning. You read the scriptures, you can just tell this is where this life is going. This particular life this fellow is leading, the way this person is living this life, this is where it will go. You're not being super spiritual. You just have understanding of what life is like from what is recorded, from what you have experienced. There's a story I told here last year or the year before of a young man who asked to speak with me when I traveled for a convention. And he was frustrated with God. Now, don't be angry with him. He's young, I mean. He's an NYC, he's a core member, serving, our national service. So, you can understand that he was less than 30. He was kind of in his mid-20s. And if you're in your mid-20s, you can't be as wise as people are older. Age actually confers wisdom from experience, especially if you have been working with the Word of God. So, don't be angry with him. And when you look at people like him, it's people like us that misled people like him. We didn't teach them the truth. Because that day when I was speaking with him, he was shocked at the things I was saying. A lot of people are not wise in this life because nobody taught them wisdom. Some people rejected wisdom. Some nobody even taught it to them. Okay? Now, a person like him, we misled him. When I say we, now I mean we preachers. We told him that if you serve God, God will cashly bless you. Did you hear what I said? Okay, let me use the word you like, financially. That there will be pecuniary gains for serving the Lord. And he had served. And he had made sacrifices. He had walked in his integrity. He told me stories. Don't have time to tell them now. He had worked hard for the Lord. So as I was speaking, I was looking at it and I said, okay, so, like, excuse me, I don't get where this gist is going. So what is the problem? That is like, handsome young man, working healthy, working hard, has skills. So I couldn't see what the problem is. And NYC. Are you supposed to now be the next hotel dollar because you are doing NYC? NYC is NYC. You understand? NYC is, I know it's National Youth Service Corps. But there's also, now your suffering continues. That is true. You've heard people say it before. You are supposed to suffer during NYC. People say you want to go and serve in an oil company and this one so they can pay you well. You are not doing NYC. When you are going to NYC, you should pray that they throw you inside one village where you farm yam and, do you follow my point? So where you go and serve in a village secondary school where you turn somebody's life around. Yes, there's one student who claims to be doing physics, who cannot add, who can't do quadratic equations. It's your assignment to turn the person to a smart student. That's what you should be looking forward to. See young people leaving school and they are praying that they will post them to go out to oil rig. So like, what are you? Oil rig is good if that's where God thinks your destiny is starting from, but don't even desire it because of money. You desire to, I love what do you call them? The Christian coppers. They used to do what they call rural rugged. You should be looking forward to rural rugged. Young people, please, if you are listening to me, I'm telling you now. Don't you have an adventurous spirit? Poverty has turned people, poverty of mind, to everything money. I told God before the end of NYC I should buy a car. What is wrong with you? When will you now trek? By the time your NYC ends, you should lose weight. That's how we know you went for service. Have you ever seen anybody go for military this and come back here chopped up? What kind of thing? No, now. Anyway, that's a small aside for young people, because people set, you know, let me see there for a moment. This generation, no, I don't think it's just this generation. People have had it like that for a long time. They set wrong things in front of young people. You want to harm? You shouldn't want to harm. No, can people make, can God, okay, some of you will be listening to this when hammer is no longer a slang, all right? First, let me say that I say what hammer means. You shouldn't want to hammer. Now, please, let me explain what I say. The desire should not be in your heart to want to make it big financially all of a sudden when you are young. When they offer it to you, say, no, I'm not ready. Tell them, let me go and say. When I say save, now, not just NYC. My brother is a businessman. Let me go and work for him for 2 years. Let me be the one to open the door. Clean the place. Be the last to leave. I don't want money. I just want food. And this generation, we need a smart device. You know, you need a mobile phone that can connect to the internet. That's what I want. I will trek from home to the office. I will take a bus. I will take a bike. You should want to do it. If they offer you something else, say no. I say, we'll do this for now. This place, they be employed. Ah, you're going to have a driver carrying you. The kind of car. Say, at this time? No, now. Say, leave me. I need 2 years of suffering. You do. And your company says, okay, you're going to go to Lagos. You go by. Ah, it's all, sir. No, I'm not going by L. Why not? What is wrong with luxury bus? Still on the road. Do you follow? You see, it's not as if I know it's difficult, but you should want to pass through the difficulty. You should not want life. I'm talking to young people, please. Don't want the easy life. No, get my point. Don't want it. If it's offered to you, reject it. Say no. Let me go the difficult way. See, life is a tough ground. It's a battleground. See, one day, Tall Reverend was telling me a story of somebody that went for military training. The story alone scared me. I wanted to run away. The story. I'm not there. You see, when you see soldiers behave the way they do, there's a reason. My neighbor is a military officer and I should be high ranking now, of course. We're schoolmates. So I can imagine people like him are now brigadier or right, major general. That's what I mean. One day I went home. He told his father that he's not going back to school. That's Nigeria Defense Academy. He has spent 1 year. What his eyes had seen. He told his father that he's not going back. That the suffering is too much. It took his father a while to persuade him. You know why they do that? Because when the showdown starts really, when the fight starts, you see the way they behave. It's not determination, it's experience. It's what these men have passed. They passed them through it in training. I did my NYC. My own NYC was in Nigeria Army. I was working in the clinic, so don't think I was carrying gun. I wasn't carrying gun. Just I was in the barracks. So, you know, interact with the soldiers, interact with the officers. And when they tell you some stories, you're like, eh? Excuse me. See, that there's part of their training that they tell you not to raise your head. They're not joking about it. They are firing live ammo above your head. If you raise it, it will hit you. You will die. They will carry your body to your father. And we're looking at them like, what? It's live ammo. They first train you with ordinary play. You play them that day. Oh, yeah. That's where we are going. You don't raise that head. And somebody is firing a live machine gun above your head. Oh, I forgot to tell you. The ground is potopoto. So you have to keep your head just above the potopoto and keep crawling. There's nothing like, I want to stretch my back. You stretch your back into the line of fire. And it's training.
And it's training. You know why? Because life is tough. Because life is tough. So young people, don't want... Do you follow? Don't want the easy life. Don't want it. If they offer it to you, see it as a disadvantage. Not something you start running out for. You know, some people go for NYC. The school, the place they posted, they don't have toilets. That doesn't mean anything. What the real person does, I remember during one of our camp, not commandant, the civilian in charge of the whole camp. You know, we had a commandant, we had a civilian, the camp director. Our camp director, when they spoke to us, and that was my first time of understanding, talking about what an excellent core member was supposed to be. That's okay, they don't have a toilet. Listen to this. Dig a pit latrine. You guys come together. Dig one, no? Fabricate something. You know, young people have been trained these days as if life is social media. Life has filters. Life doesn't have filters like that. Please, I'm talking to you, a young person this morning. Don't want the easy life. It shouldn't be your prayer point. Don't even pray about it. Father God, oh, hey, as I'm going for NYC, you know, you'll settle me with a car at the end. Tell the Lord, I tried to go. If I'm coming back, just pray. There are things God tells people. He told Jeremiah, you know what? Wahala go day, plenty trouble, but you will not die. You will walk naked, though, but you will not die. They will beat you, but you will not die. They will throw you into a dungeon, but you will not die. They will carry you to Egypt against your will, but you will not die. You will visit Babylon, but you will not die. You will go to and fro, you will talk, you will shout, your voice will become hoarse because of all of this, but you will not die. See, I will give you your life as a booty. That is, it's your own spoil of war. At the end of everything, see all this, your countrymen, they'll be dead. They'll be dead. At the end of everything, see all these women you are seeing, they'll be dead. A few of them will survive, who follow the Babylonians. For you, don't worry. At the point in time, the Babylonians protected him. God said, that's the kind of prayer you pray at such times. Brother, we are going to travel up and down. Keep me alive. I want to come back home healthy and whole. I still want to have years to serve you. Stop having... No, I've been telling young people, you must hate the idea of quick money. See, when they offer it to you, say, I don't want... I was still reminding my wife this morning, yesterday evening when we were talking. Yesterday morning. About my friend who came to me and said, I should come and invest money. Do this in dollars. I said, why would I do that? He said, no, my sister told me about it too. I put $5,000. Now my money is $12,000. You know, many people have been tempted. But God has blessed me. You know, let me explain. The Lord gave me some blessings. He didn't cross my mind to be. I didn't even ask him, how does it work? You know, some people say, okay, let's see, what are we supposed to do? How much you go put? What are the guarantees? I didn't ask him. He said, Banky, hey, you. I said, bro, wait. I said, my name is Jonah. If I enter your boat, you will lose everything. That's what I told him. I said, your money has turned from $5,000 to $12,000, yeah? I said, keep it like that. I said, the moment I give you money and you add to it, your $12,000 and my assume it's $1,000 I give you is coming to zero. He said, why? I said, because my name is Jonah. Any person's boat I enter wrongly like this, you will not go reach that Tarshish in one piece. The worst mistake, the worst experience of those boat life was carrying one passenger. One particular passenger whose name was Jonah. They lost. Do you know the investment? All the bales of wheat, all the clothing, everything. They had to be throwing it outboard to lighten the ship. Because one man was too heavy. You know, carry heavy load. One man was too heavy. So I told the brother, I said, my brother, that's my life. Oh. He said, I don't tell you. I said, I don't hear you. But thank you. No, thank you. He said, this one is from America. Ah, I told him, I said, you know, because he thought I would think it's a scam. He said, this one is from America. I told him, I said, my brother, Bernard Madoff is not a Nigerian. But then the Bernard Madoff thing was fresh. I said, Bernard Madoff is not a Nigerian. When you hear of Ponzi scheme, you think Ponzi is from Okunan? Does Ponzi sound like an Igbo name to you? Okay. Niger Delta. Ponzi. I said, that's not a Nigerian name. Scam is not it's not a Nigerian word. It's an English word. Fraud is an English word. We have Nigerian words like Onyoshi. Only. But fraud is an English word. He said, oh, okay, you know, go here. I said, bro. I said, thank you. This was the conversation we had. What I like about it is the fact that I wasn't even tempted. An average person, $5,000 to $12,000 in 6 months. I bet. Show me way. I didn't want to know the way. Then he never talked to me about it again. I was telling my wife, I said, such things, they never tell you about it. You know why? No, he said that how I knew this scam he fell for was that he said, you just see your money, there's a graph. You see as your money is going. His money is on that graph till today. It's just a graph. Those guys took his $5,000 and never saw a dime of it again. Whoever brokered that deal would have taken a cut. Ruja Ignatova, that's the name of the woman in charge. She disappeared with billions of dollars and they've not seen her till today. CIA has looked for her. The British intelligence, they've looked for her. They've not found her till today. So the general gist is now that they think she has been killed to cover the scam. They believe it was scam, you know, engineered by the Eastern Europeans. Those guys have a deadly mafia going on over there. My friend lost his $5,000 to them. My point, what I'm talking about is that I was not even, you know, and I didn't know what I'm telling you. I discovered like 2 years later, 3 years later, was when I found out that, oh, this was what, I was following a particular podcast, BBC podcast. By the time I finished, I said, this was where my friend, I saw the graph. What he did not know, that one person wakes up in the morning and types figures into a spreadsheet. It shows up on the front end as a graph of his money. The money did not exist. Again, it's not the scam I want to talk about. It's that God blessed me. I was not interested. I didn't know I was going to lose money. I didn't even want the money they were offering. And as I'm telling young people, when they come and tell you how to trade stock on the internet, say, I am not a stock trader. We have a seminar on how to trade Bitcoin. Tell them, the thing cannot be spent. Why am I trading something that's of no value? All the real rich men of the world, they avoid it. So one of our brothers along this line, in fact, he was listening to us teach. He now sent me a message. He said, Pastor, don't mind people. He mentioned the name of one big bank. Now, this discussion has been a while ago. Something like JP Morgan. He said, look, JP Morgan has a building. He gave me a figure, maybe of 200 people, who all their job, it's more than that, but let me just give you 200. Now, please, for those who listen to this, it's not exactly JP Morgan, just that we just took a name, all right? He tells me, look, they have this building that they use only for these offices, several levels of offices. They have over 200 people trading Forex. Hundreds of them. You know what he said? And they still lose money. He said, then one Olakunle Inoju Elegba. We train only you how to make money, and you believe him. That's what he told me. In fact, he said something like that. He said, you go one to one, and Okwaja boy, he will tell you how to trade Forex, and you believe him. Please stop thinking you are inspired. Stop thinking you are smarter than other people. You know something they don't know. It's the reason why you will lose something they did not lose. Please, if you're a young person, don't even want it. No, I don't know. This thing is so, I'm so keen about it. You see, a lot of young people looking for how they can make it fast. You can't make it fast. It doesn't happen. Say, Mark Zuckerberg was doing this. You look at them. The chances you'll be the next Mark Zuckerberg is less than the chances that you will die from being struck by lightning. People don't, you know, they don't want to hear it. People have been crossing roads before. Lightning struck them and they died. Say, God can do anything. That's the point. I'm telling you what God wants you to do. That's the point I'm making. What God wants to do in your life. That's the point I'm making. Young man, don't want, if the offer says there's no need, look for how you will learn. You see, the job you need when you are young is the job that says you must get to work by 7:30. And you are living 1 hour away. It's good. And that you can't close before 5. That's a good job. You work on that kind of job so hard that after 6 months, you realize that any day you don't go to work, things will spoil, like we say. The kind of job where you're always learning a skill. You're always, there's something, when the year started, there's something you couldn't do. The year ended, you become good at it. I remember the first set of people you employed that time. Remember that your guy? I sat him down one day. I said, come. Have you ever read a novel? He said, no, sir. I said, and you're a university graduate. While I was watching him, I made him, his English was so bad, I made him install a dictionary on his phone. I said, no, download, I told him to download it now. He did. I said, okay, now, download the news app. And every day, know what's going on in the world. A lot of adults don't know what's going on in the world. They just wake up in the morning. They think Russia is part of Africa. It sounds funny, eh? Wait till you talk to some people. Some people think that if you run fast enough, you can reach the sun in a lifetime. They think there's a rope long enough on this earth to drag Pluto. They can't conceive the distance. You know what pains me? People like that vote. And now say democracy is not work. How can it work? If you're a democracy, will you work? Told you that if my wife and I were in a plane, the plane had an issue, they had to divert and all of that. When people were talking, the way they were getting angry at the crew, my wife just called one of the members of the crew and said, sorry, eh? Please forgive them. Those guys were the ones going through a lot. They were the ones that I said, hey, you want to put our life in there? I said, they don't have life. You think the pilot is AI? He's not an AI pilot. The captain is a real person. Everybody on board, all the crew, they are real person. They don't want to kill you. They had an issue. Everybody shouted. I was just ashamed. I said, God, please don't send us to hellfire. I'm on the same plane with these people. You can't afford to be ignorant. What I'm going is that enjoy a place where you go to learn. I told that guy that day, I said, download BBC News as I'm looking at you now. And every day, check what's going on in the world. Russia invaded Ukraine. Ask why. I'm not saying you have to agree. But at least when you're having a conversation, have an intelligent conversation. Stop telling things like Vladimir Putin and Volodymyr Zelensky, they were fighting over a girlfriend. You know, and you're saying it and you're arguing because you're drinking a bottle of Gouda. Have you seen those people argue? They will not tell you that the mother of Zelensky
there was a day he insulted. There'll be 10 things they don't know with confidence. Then they will sip their drink. Then you know where the inspiration is coming from. No, it's very painful. And when people like that are talking with you, they're looking like, am I supposed to be answering you? But the point I'm making, you don't be like that. You get to a place to work at the end of the year, skills you did not have at the beginning, you have at the end. That's what should matter to you. That's what should matter to you. Not that somebody give you money. You learn things. You get to know. And of course, I keep on saying, if you're a young person, when you hear that as talking, stop contributing. Keep your eyes straight. Look away. Look at the sky. Fix your eyes on one star. Looking at one constellation. But your ears and what they are saying. You are learning how politics works. How business works. There was one thing Bukwa Oshika said once. I said, my God, this is so true. She said that these young men who are hosting every day, that they should call university graduate first, be a graduate, then let her give you a job to drive her for maybe 2 years. Be my driver. See, just from driving and hearing Madame talk on the phone, you will learn more MBA than if you went to Lagos Business School. Just get there in the morning. Be there on time. And please, dress well. Sorry, please, I'll get to my message. I'm instructing young people. Is that okay? What did I say? Don't wear tattered jeans. You're not crazy. Look nice. Now, the point I'm making, don't take pride in looking like a fool. That's what I'm saying. I went to my friend's clinic the other day, traveled. So, he owns a hospital, so I went there to see him. Then he called one of his staff, was supposed to do something, all right, for me. He went to get something for me. And the guy showed up. I asked him, do you have a mental problem? My friends started laughing. I just ignored him. I said, look at you. I said, the way you're going, police will stop you on the road. Even if you didn't commit a crime. They said, this boy must have done something. I don't know what, but arrest him first. That they will arrest you first, then think about what you did later. I'm telling you what I told the young man. I said, look at you. Like they say, dress the way you want to be addressed. Nobody will see you looking like this and say, good morning, sir. They will not. Dress well. I'll give an example. You are that woman's driver. Show up at work looking responsible. Even if you have to wear jeans, let it be clean. Do you get? Yes. I'm talking the shirt on. If you're in a t-shirt, let it be nice and neat. I'm just giving tips to young people. And then sit down and walk and treat the car like it belongs to you. Mentors are driving on the road. As we get a car, we move. You know, next thing I check, the license plate. 7.5 times out of 10, you see it. FGN. A federal government, Enugu state government, one NGO. I said, it's not his car. You see, it's just so clear that it's not his own. If you bash that car and you have to be the one to repair it, there's a way you won't drive. There's a way you won't run through into potholes. Treat that car like that. And it's 2 years of good service I'm talking about. Not whining every time about how much you didn't give. Every time Madame comes out looking at her back, whether it's open. You know what I mean? I'm not saying to be over nice. Just do your work properly, but keep your ears open. Learn good habits. Learn information. Young people, please. Any WhatsApp group where they are, there's one thing I noticed, Maybe somebody should go and tell Mark Zuckerberg and Co. that their WhatsApp channels, they only promote nonsense there. They're always offering you channels to follow. Now, they tend to offer the ones that are trending. Once in a while, I click on them. It's always rubbish. You should go and learn from YouTube how to recommend channels according to your interest. Where I'm going now, if you get to this thing, betting, most of them. Betting.
If you look, listen, if you're in WhatsApp group, they are teaching you how to make money quick. Please, I command you by the Spirit of God, exit now. As soon as this teaching is over and you can put on your phone, exit. Join. This is where you learn. Most importantly, don't want to hammer quick. You don't need it. It's not necessary. If they give it to you, say, I'm not. Look, let me go and learn. They give you a job somewhere. As long as you are busy, something depends on you, and you're learning. Very important. Find a skilled person to work for in a particular area. So you're developing yourself. You're not just there earning money. You go out, your assignment, like they say, I think it was Henry Ford that said it, that the greatest reward for a man's labor is not what he gets for it, that is materially, but what he becomes by it. You're working for an electrician, you're checking how much money he's paying you. What's wrong with you? You're wondering, how do they wire skyscrapers? It's not the money he's paying you that should be your issue. You want to know why this wire is red, why this one is black. Why do you use this dimension? Why don't you use that dimension? So, sir, is it human beings that wire these buildings at 100 meters high? And 100 floors, I wanted to say. Yes. Yeah, 100 meters anyway. Is this a human being? No. Not angels. Ah, sir, I want to learn how to do things like that. How do you calculate the load? So there are things you learn. See, university is good, though. But there's knowledge that will not enter your head except you're in the field. One day, somebody, you know, Harvard engineering. You know what they call Harvard? Somebody took battery, wire, and a bulb and queued up the engineering graduates that they should put it on. Did you hear what I said? No, those of you know, you know what I'm talking about. You did it in secondary school. It was standard in secondary school. They give them a battery. A standard battery. You give them a small bulb and a wire. Say, put it on. Almost none of them could. Oh, MIT. Oh, I thought it was Harvard. That's even worse. You know what they call MIT? Massachusetts Institute of Technology. That is supposed to be the top. These are the top people in engineering. They were graduating. A reporter was looking for trouble. You know, there are reporters that just go around looking for trouble. Give them a battery, a wire, and a bulb. They should put it on. We did it as children. I mean, like, we used to wire our streets. Now, what I say streets now is the back of the house. We'll put sticks. They want to do street lights. But they couldn't do it. And they had degrees in engineering. What does that tell you? Hands-on experience wasn't with them. They could draw diagrams of things that mean nothing. So if you're like that, say, wait, I'm coming. Let me go. If you go to Dangote Refinery to go and look for work, don't go there to look for money. Go there to go and look for what? Work. Something you want to learn. Please, I'm talking to young people this morning. The Spirit is upon me to instruct young people. Don't want money. That is, if they offer you, say, I don't want. If they offer you bread, take it to get strength for the work for the day. But let it not be that 1 year passed. You're not more skilled significantly than the beginning of the year. Ah, no. There must be something you have learned. Like I gave an example now. You work for an electrician. You should go and pay visits to this copper cable where they make cables. Know the real reason why one cable is like this. That is your job. Every day you go to work, you should finish the man with questions. But last time we used five meters now. It's about the same distance. Why are you now making this one six? No, you're not querying him. You want to know. And I say, this one is a bit movable, so we need to give a lot of redundant wires so that if the building moves, they will tell, okay, sorry, I understand. I don't want tension. No, he keeps telling you something. Every day you are learning something. I told you the other day, talking about spirits, the way spirits pass across, People take Elijah, Elisha that poured water on the hands of Elijah. It's not the pouring of water. So some people want to pour water in your hand. You know, I've told people, stop doing funny, funny things. They look for pastors that they'll be sending money to. Please don't join me to them. Don't send us rubbish offering. Or, you know, this witchcraft. You know, these people that will be disturbing your spirit, you won't know why you are dreaming bad dream at night. It's the money they gave you. A generator is working nicely, then it goes off. Maybe somebody has given you offering that's not good. You use it to buy diesel. What I mean is that, see, I've seen people do it. Or ahead of. They find one pastor somewhere, they'll be sending him offering. So that he can be praying for them. If you are not listening to me, don't send me money. Did you hear what I said? Because the way the spirit comes, it's not the money exchange. It's not for sale. It's not for sale. The offering should be a response to, do you follow my point? A passing of the, it is the spirit moving across that should be first. Ah, please, sir. Oh, God, that last year I heard that word. God bless you, sir. Take. Do you follow my point? Not, you know, that's what they call the sorcerer spirit, the Simon spirit. Take. Give me small power too. Doesn't work like that. The anointing that was on Elisha, it moved from Elijah because Elisha was always with him. So if Elijah got angry, Elisha knew why. If Elijah was happy, Elisha knew why. He observed the prayer life of Elijah. He observed his study life. He was always around him, so he was learning. And that is the way the spirit passes across. Bezalel had the spirit of wisdom in craftsmanship. And the Bible says he will be able to teach others also. Bezalel was not going to lay hands on you to be a good gold worker. No. You had to stay with him. You see him carve mud, line it with something, see him pour molten stuff into it. You see him the way he'll break the mud and bring out this. You see him how you know how you have to be with him and you'll be asking questions. So young people, I hope you are learning. This life you must always be you must be interested in having skill. Yes, you must be interested in having skill. Anything you do, your desire must be that skill must be with you. There's nothing you do in life that you should be satisfied if you are not amongst the best. See, even if it is, do you know, one day my wife told me something. It was very funny. She has an auntie. She said, I like the way he makes the bed. She makes the bed. So, yesterday, this really happened in my house. My wife said, I'm using that to preach. Well, what will I do? So let's change the bed sheet. So there's this new bed sheet, very nice, very big. So let's use this one. I put it in. Talking your side now. I said, Mama, it's tucked in now. He said, but the bed is not smooth. I said, but we're going to lie on it now. So she left me with all my talk to come and talk in the thing by herself. I'm like, oh my God, what kind of thing is this? This bed, as far as I'm concerned, the important is that the sheet is clean. They look like a small thing. But have you noticed? Well, if you're amongst those who travel a bit and you use hotel rooms, anytime you come back, there's no crease. If you're in a decent hotel, there's no crease on your bed. They are trained to make the beds. Even nurses are trained how to make beds. There's a training in bed making. Forget the fact that I failed the course, but there's a training in it. There's a training in it. I'm telling you, if it's bed you make, make it well. Sometimes when I enter those hotel rooms, just look like her. Did they iron this thing after they finish? They don't iron it, though. But it's that well made. Like I keep on saying, stop telling your customers, manage it like that. It's a bad statement.
is bad. It's bad. I know it's a lot of headache to do it properly, but don't be happy until your customer is 100% satisfied. There's a skill to learn all the time when you're doing something. You can always do it better. You can always do it better. You can always find a way. You know, one guy was analyzing something yesterday. I saw in the news, of course, this was one of these big Nigerian networks, that's news channels. He made something, he said something, you know, they were talking about, now, please, can I beg you, try and stick in this, with the spirit of what I'm saying. Do not get carried away by the economic and politics, the economics and the politics discussion. But let's just get this spirit on and say. He was arguing about whether they should ban the importation of refined products or not, you know, because Dangote called for it and all of that. So he is against it. He's very much against it. And now to this story. I knew a little bit about that. I knew that story then, but I didn't know the details like this. I knew when fracking, because when I first knew about fracking, there are different ways you get oil out of the ground. All right? America has oil that's not, they have a lot of oil. People, they don't know that they are the largest oil producing country in the world. A lot of people don't know that. The U.S. is number one. Did you know? No. Yeah, a lot of people didn't know. They are number one. Am I right? Yeah, they are number one. But they are not the number one oil exporting. But they are also the number one consumer. So that is why a lot of people don't know. You think Saudi is the biggest? No. Canada has one of the largest oil reserves in the world. Many people don't know that also. Okay? Don't think Nigeria is not up there amongst us with reserves. No. Canada has one of the largest, but Canada oil is very difficult to extract. Yeah, there's what they call tar sands. So it's very difficult to extract. So the cost of extracting Canada oil is often not good unless what the international price of crude goes up. Then it becomes profitable. Now, fracking used to be $70 a barrel. I remember very well. I used to read it. $70 a barrel for fracking. So, price of crude went up. I still remember. It climbed up to 90, 100. It was crossing 100. So, America could do fracking anyway. Mm-hmm. Now, this man was just analyzing what now happened. So, Saudis at the time now decided to retain their monopoly on the international market. And their dominance, not monopoly, their dominance. So they flooded the market with oil. Thereby, with the aim of what? Driving down the price below, so if you could go down to like $60 a barrel, there would be no point fracking. Duncan now analyzed yesterday. He said, but it didn't work. Because when they saw the pressure, they developed new technology. I didn't know that until I watched it a few days ago. Because I used to wonder, why are these people still fracking? I thought it was expensive. He said, no. I found out about a few days ago that they developed new technology. I don't understand it, but I can't go. He said, but that cut down their cost. That when they saw pressure. So he was trying to argue that, look, nobody should say that importation is making. He said, no. That puts you under pressure to improve your processes. That puts you under pressure to find ways to improve what you are doing. That nobody is going to protect you. It will be wrong, because if they do, the general population is paying for it. Like I said, please, you may have arguments against his own, and you may be right. I'm not trying to persuade anybody on one side. It's what he said about fracking that shocked me. I didn't even know. I thought fracking was still expensive. No, you guys forget that thing. Now, if you geologists, you can explain to them after Bible study. I just given a point. The point I'm making is that there's always a better way to do what you're doing. There is always a better way. And that is what you should be going for all the time. The challenges you have, they are meant to bring out what the Bible calls hidden wisdom for the upright. The challenges you have, they are meant to draw out from inside you what the Bible calls wisdom that he hid for the upright. They're not meant to make life difficult. They are meant to draw out the wisdom for the upright. So if you're walking every day, your aim is to get better.
You must be better in two areas. One, your personal character must be getting better. Number two, your skill in whatever you are doing must be getting better. That is when you are prospering. No? It's not when you are making money. That is when you are prospering. It's not when you are making money. Real prosperity is No, I was teaching my son the other day. Before, I used to be, when I'm driving, I get angry all the time. I said, until one day I realized that the man you're angry with today, you won't see him again. So you have to get angry with the next person. They have to get angry with the next person. So you've now found out that you are the one that's angry all the time. It's very soon you know it's that angry man. They won't know that you're being provoked. What are you? An angry man. You are the one that knows who's provoking you. Average person say, you know, say that man is not normal. He's always angry. I realized that the commercial driver that I'm angry with, they remain the same age. They were not aging. Did you notice? If the average age of commercial drivers was 30, or let's say 25, 10 years after I began my angry process, the average age was still 25. 30 years after, you know what that tells you? The people you got angry with, they've retired from driving, and new ones that have not yet experienced your anger have joined. So you are going to be status, you know what I mean, persistently angry all your life. So I told my children, I said, learn it early. Don't be old like me before you learn it. If you learn this as a young man, you are 25, you are driving, and you are cool. You know you have made it. The kind of kindness I show now when I'm driving, even me, I'm amazed. I was so calm. Yesterday, my daughter thought I saw her. I was waiting to pick her up. I wasn't waiting for her. I was waiting for somebody to clear and pass. I was so gentle. By the time the girl realized I didn't see her, I don't blow past. She had to call me. Daddy, you just left me. Ah, me and you didn't go somewhere now. I thought you were waiting for me. I didn't see you. But that's how calm I became. Praise God. After more than 30 years of driving, see how long it took to become calm. But at least I made improvement. Where's my guy? Simon. Where's Simon? Simon has not reached my level. He's still angry. But he has improved. Yes, I know he has improved. No, like I said, he hasn't reached my level. Elder John's own is a problem. That John is too calm. His own is on the other side. I want to bring him put a bit of anger in. I mean, what can you be? I mean, even Jesus Christ used to get angry small. He entered the temple. If it's that John that entered that temple, you say, no. Nobody should trade here. Nobody should trade here. It's not good. My brethren, trading in temple is not good. The Lord will be angry, oh. That's what the Job would have said. But that one, I'm like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ took all their mobile phones and threw it outside for ringing while he was preaching. Was that not what he did? Thank you. The Lord is good. What I'm trying to say, even as a driver on the road, you get better. There's nothing you're doing that you're not supposed to get better. Character-wise, you are better. Like I said, I'm telling my wife the other day, we didn't finish the talk. If your staff are always making you get this angry, see, you will perpetuate, because they ain't going to improve, because new people will come. You have to get to a point where you are just calm. You know? And that's spiritual development. You can't wait for everything to be perfect before you have a rest of mind in your soul. You can't. You can't. The point I'm just making is that, you see, in your character, every day you are getting better. But let's go back to me. And in skill, I said one day, new heaven here, the guy who used to repair my car. Then we used to, if you ever drove the Mercedes-Benz series, you know, then we used to have a lot of them in Nigeria. We bought them used, of course. So they came with their problems. And that time, but later I found out they were renowned for being unreliable when they are old. We didn't know. We like the luxury, but the luxury was actually with them when they are new.
Unlike some of our Japanese guys that 30 years later, they are just cruising like nothing. But those German cars, especially Mack, if I read later, I said, no, they were notoriously unreliable when they are old. And we bought a lot of those older ones. I mean, I had quite, you know, we bought them one model after another. So there was one particular one I had, of course, the main problem they had that time, they used to call it injector, but actually it's distribution, all right? It is, the fuel distributor always used to have problems. So there's this guy that was a guru in town. I came to pick my car. He had been with him for some time. So he said he was done with it. So he just wanted to do one final thing. So they opened the box. He didn't have those days. He had a few of these gadgets we have these days. But the final tuning he used to do with his ears. So then to open the bonnet, put on the engine, told one guy to stay inside the car and rev the car. The guy will rev the car. But that's not the point. It was how, when it started, all the other mechanics around left what they were doing. That's where I'm going. I saw people leaving their jobs. He didn't call anybody, but they just next thing they crowded around. And they were watching him. And they would tell the person, yeah, wait. You tune something, then twist something like that. Go again. Then you see him listening very attentively. Me, I was standing there, it's my vehicle. But I was looking at everybody else. They stood and they were watching the master. They were at work. And I remember that day. I said, Father God. I still remember very well the prayer. I said, Lord, what is it that I will do this well? And people will leave what they are doing to pay attention. That was what came to my mind. I wasn't thinking of how much money is he making from this business. Do I want to be a car mechanic? No. I already had what I was mechanicking. Is that English good? What I was mechanicking. Is that? You understand? God will bless you, Joe. God will bless you. That's what matters, Abby. I already had what I was mechanicking. So I wasn't trying to be a car mechanic. What? The fact that a man stood and everybody else in the same business around, see, I remember them. They, not as if they were necessarily his boys. They just happened to be around like, Ogachi bike is tuning a vehicle. So they left and came. And they were observing him. The instructions he gave. My own was that I was just looking at all of them. I said, Father God, there must be something I do this well. The other people will stop to come and pay attention. As a young person, that's what should be your drive. There must be something you do so well that somebody will be in Australia one day, they'll say, we want this thing done, no. And one guy will say, I know one guy, but it's in Nigeria. I know one guy, but it's in Nigeria. So when this current government came into power, this, what's the name of our guy? Redemptive Business, what's his name? What's the name of his company? Yes, what's the name of his company? Yeah, those guys. Flutterway, yes. I don't remember Flutterway. When they interviewed him, he said something there. That yes, things are rough, but Nigerians should see the opportunity. Naira has been further devalued than before. It's kind of stable now. It's been stable like this for about the last 1 year now, okay? He said, look. He gave a number of countries. He said, this is your opportunity. Develop marketable skills. You will discover that you are very cheap. That forest will flow towards you. Somebody wants to do something, all right? In the US, they tell him $10,000. The guy looks. And listen, if he gives you $2,000, you know you give testimony in church. Do you get my point? I mean, how much is that? That's like 3 million naira. And this is a job you can finish it in 1 month and 2 weeks of working day and night. You that have done all night prayer before. You have done things nobody paid you and you did not sleep. Meanwhile, the man on the other end, he's thinking, $2,000, no, they can't be that good. But let's test them. Then you now deliver a job that is even better than the man who asked him to pay $10,000. Where do you think it's coming next time? But the point is that you have to have what? Skill that people can, and let me tell you something, is doable. You have to have skill
that is recognizable worldwide. It is, that man was explaining. He said, nobody should be angry. There is the opportunity to reverse the flow of currency in your direction. And what I am emphasizing is that that is when you have what? Skill in your hands. Stop telling stories, you know, in this country. You know, in this country. I've told you before. If you don't want God to slap your mouth and remove 2 seats in the morning, this don't let Nigeria happen to you. Must never fall from your mouth except that you have redefined it to mean something positive. We'll be learning bad habits. Nigeria will happen to you. Father God, may Nigeria happen to me the way you planned it to be. That clip you sent to me of Bishop Oedipo. I like the way he said it. He said, what? He said, God planted me. He said, you cannot be a blessing to a land you don't love. He said, you must love Jerusalem. There's a blessing upon those who love Jerusalem. He said, let war break out. Jimmy, I used to say before that, the only thing that can drive me out of is war. You know, I used to say that. Anybody remember that I used to say that? That your hunger. Bishop Oedipo said, even if there is a war, I'll be the last man standing. He said, I'll be the last man. That is, I'm not moving. He said, why? Because God commanded me to stay here and be a blessing to the land. Let me paraphrase other things he said. Then the land will answer to me. The land will bless me back. God will speak to that land and command blessing from me. So please, all this nonsense you hear people say that don't let Nigeria happen to you. Please don't say it again. Don't say it again. If you say it again, what the Lord will do to you, you'll be surprised. We're talking about the spirit of Edom. You know, I've been talking about the spirit of Edom. What's the spirit of Edom? Two things. Number one, they don't value spiritual things. And what God has given them, they say, what is this among so many? What is this? What is this? They grumble and complain about it. God said, let them gather, we scatter it. If you're among those who say, hey, Nigeria will happen to you, please don't invest your money. Because I know God, if you're a Christian, he at the peak of that investment, he will crash it down. And you say, why? He said, Nigeria just happened to you. As you have spoken my hearing, so I have done to you. One pastor, I saw a testimony again yesterday. He said he woke up in the morning and discovered that he had 2 bank accounts. Fraudsters have managed to get inside and cleared everything. Now, let me tell you something he said that which interested me. He said, I pray for this country every day. This will not happen to me. He said, so I thanked God. I prayed for Nigeria again. That's what he said. Other people are saying, what's wrong with this country? He said, I thanked God for Nigeria and I prayed for Nigeria again. Then I now did what I was supposed to do. I went and reported. I went to the police, made a statement. I went to CBN. They have a place where you can report to CBN. He reported. He talked to the EFCC. And then he went about his business. So one day they called him. Say nobody asked him for a kobo, nobody asked him for a dime. Every single naira that was stolen from him was returned to him. He said EFCC went every day, tracked the people down, arrested them, and made them. He said, not only me, many people that were so stolen from, said they got their money back. He said, brethren, Nigeria is working. Yes. I saw a testimony yesterday. See, let me say it again. Don't let Satan collect what God has given you. I keep on saying this thing. God, may your children believe me. Listen to what I say. Satan doesn't have power the way people think he does. He doesn't have it. He can't wake up one morning and kill. He can't wake up one morning and snatch what is yours. Please get what I'm saying. This undue. I hope you guys have been following the era of the prophets on Pastor Banking 10. I've been teaching about it. Leave witches alone. What is your own? Every witch is after me. Let them be after you. What is it? Have you ever heard me pray? Every cockroach after me. Have you ever prayed it? You went to pray. Let us begin to pray. Every cockroach that is after us in this house, they will not succeed. That is how much emphasis you put on this witch's problem. Are you getting my point? Don't let anybody harass you. Now, what I'm talking about is that, see, Satan
cannot take from you. He can only persuade you to give up.
Yeah.
You say, what about Job? Why are you asking me what about Job? Didn't you see what happened to Job? He went to God. God said, where are you coming from? He said, I just walk about. Who brought up the matter of Job? The Lord himself said, have you considered? He said, and what did he say? No. He said, Lord, we can't do anything to Job. Thanks to you. What did the Lord now say? Now let me remove the edge. I give you what he has. Who gave it to Satan? When Job finally fell sick, after the crisis came upon him, who gave that one again to Satan? God said, listen, you can't touch his flesh, but you can't kill him. Thus far, and no further. The power belongs to God. The power didn't belong to Satan. The power belongs to God. Thus far and no further. You know what I'm talking about? It's only what Satan does is tempt. He's the one that will come and persuade you. See this blessing God has given you? Leave it. He will tell you, see all the land God has given you. You know there's no hope in this country. Say there's no hope, there's no hope. Say, sell it. Sell them. Then you get up in the morning. Plot of land that's worth 5 million, you'll be selling it for 2.5. Why? Because you heard a rumor. Then when you finish selling, you exchange everything for 10,000 pounds, 20,000 pounds. At the end of 1 year, you're broke. You that used to be a more nearly or learner, go and ask and tell you what that means. It's other tongues. Basically, what it means is that you that was a snow. You were wealthy. You own, literally means you had land, you had houses, you had property. Last time we finished talking, one of our sisters came to me after. He said, Pastor, this thing you said, I know somebody happened to. He said, right now, they live on welfare. Yeah. She said to me that, no, they've been removed from UK to Ireland. The UK people said, Nala, you can't stay anymore. People don't know how difficult it might be. Now, they are in Ireland as refugees, queuing up to collect what Americans call food stamps. A large family. The painful part is, you see, let me tell you, all of you be very, very careful. You see, don't just get up and be. Don't just get up. Oh. Don't just get up and run up and down. Only in the Lord will you have righteousness and strength. Safety is of the Lord. You know, we read one scripture this morning. I think I should read that scripture again. Verse 7 of Nahum chapter 1. What did he say? Read it out loud for me. Hey, wait, everybody. Wait, let's wait for those who are not yet there. I want us to read together. If you are there, say amen. Because some people are not there yet. Nahum chapter 1. We read it together just now. I thought you'd even have it, you know, in the heart. Let's read it together. 1, 2, let's go.
The Lord is good.
A stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows those who take refuge. One more time.
The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows those who take refuge in him.
Listen, you want to be safe in the day of trouble, take refuge in the Lord. Take refuge in the Lord. Don't worry about anything. Take refuge in the Lord. Later on Pastor Banking, we'll talk about how to make decisions that please the Lord. I'll do that recording shortly. How you know you are taking refuge in the Lord is your decision-making time. And let me tell you something. When you are taking refuge in the Lord, it involves what an average person would call taking unnecessary risks with your life. Did you hear what I said? Yeah. I said something the other time. Some of you were looking like, how can I? I said, there are people who are looking at me and feeling sorry for me. Like you. Why should they feel sorry for you? I said, you see, the problem you have is that you think highly of me. So you think I know what I'm doing. There are those who think I'm very foolish.
So you have lived in Enugu all these years. What's your plan? As if living in Enugu is a problem. I don't know whether you're getting my point. As if living here is a problem. It should be a plan for something else. So when they can't see the plan, they wonder what's wrong with you. See, if I want to start looking for, or if I were to, because the time has passed now, if I were to look for some opportunities long ago, alright? God placed me in a kind of, should I use the word network? Those who don't have a quarter of the exposure and network I have, they did those things. I could easily have done them. So there are those who look and feel like, no. Something's wrong with this man. How can you settle down? It's as if, okay, you came from Lagos to Enugu. There must be a plan. Let's just settle here for a while. And like one man came one day, came to look for work with my wife. He didn't stay long for us because he has some tragedies. He has to run away. When if he telling me the story of his life, I was there. My wife said, please help me talk to him. I said, When if he talking to, he was very skilled. He knew the work very well. He told me, I said, what are you doing here? He said, actually, he's on his way abroad. I said, okay. There's a way it was, it made sense. I'm not saying he should have done that, but there's a way his movement was. I said, so why did you come to stay here? He said he was defrauded. All the money he gathered to go abroad, they stole it. I felt like telling him, didn't you know that's what happens a lot of times? So what are you now doing? He wants to lay low, let his children grow up in a cool environment. So he came to Enugu to cool down for a while. I told my wife, he borrowed money. Did you get what I said? I said, for him to have come to cool down here, he's owing everybody. I know he's owing everybody. I'm sure the amount of money the guy is owing is cause of millions. The Lord is good. So it's as if people will look and say, there must be a plan. As if relaxing here is a problem. That you want to take advantage of all these opportunities. Why are you making all your children go to university around? Could you not have sent them to universities here and there? I said, I could have. But why put myself through the headache? Is they will learn what they want to learn if they want to learn it. And it's easier for me. I have more. Now that's me. Are you getting my point? But the point I'm getting to is, why on earth are you making your decisions? People who think they are feeling sorry for me, I should feel sorry for them. You know, there was a time Jesus Christ was being flogged, beaten, and he was carrying a cross. And it's normal. Everybody started crying. The good people. They cried for you. What did he say? What's the second thing? Number one, don't cry for me. What's the second thing? Cry for yourselves and your children. At such a time, he said, look, you are crying for me. When you should be crying for yourselves and for your children. There are decisions people make. You think they are being foolish. And God said, you. No, yesterday we were talking, Elder John. I said, is it not interesting? You go to the book of Revelation. There are things you see in Revelation that are interesting. So people came, they're feeling very rich. They wore agbada, gold here and there. Carried the most expensive phones. Drove the best cars and they came to church. And maybe the person is a preacher. So they say, man, that guy is rich. His members are very rich. That's the church in Laodicea. What did Jesus say about them? He said they are poor. Now, see you. He said they were rich. What did he say? That they are poor. What about the other church in Smyrna? They said they were poor. Jesus said they are rich. Yes, there was Sardis, or which one were you reading? Sardis. He said you have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Are you seeing it? The Lord will just attack. No, please, bear those things in mind. They had the reputation of being alive. Jesus said, but actually, they're dead. The church in Laodicea, they had the reputation of being rich and they felt rich. Jesus said, actually, they are poor. There was another church that felt they were poor. He said, I know of your poverty, but actually, you are rich. I'm asking Christians, think. If you think you are secure, maybe you are exposed, you don't know. And those who you think are not secure are the ones that are very secure in the Lord. So don't forget this statement. The Lord is good.
a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows those who take refuge in him. Ask yourself, where am I taking refuge? You see, all this one are running up and down. Ask yourself, where am I taking refuge? Did you see what that pastor's testimony was telling you about? Did you notice his testimony? He said that he found out all his money was stolen. Did he take refuge in AFCC? Did he take it in CBN? He said the first thing he did was to go and pray for Nigeria again. He prayed. He gave the Lord thanks. He committed everything to the Lord. Then he now did what was reasonable, legally expected. He filed his complaints. He filed his complaints with EFCC, with CBN, with the banks, two banks, he said, involved. And he went to rest. A stronghold in the time your account is hacked and all your money is collected, because he knows if indeed you took refuge in him.
There's some people asking me, one of my colleagues say, hey, did you get this money? I say, I don't. They say, ah, people like you, sha, you don't know. I say, oh God, it's my senior. I say, you see, peace of mind has a cost. The money you're asking about is lower than the cost of my peace of mind. It's not whether I have money or I don't have money. I said, but you see, I've gotten to a point where I can't be running up and down because of this and that and this and that. I said, no, I've just rested. I've quieted my soul within me. I said, look, when God said go to Enugu, I know why he said go. Any other thing you bring now that was going to be distracting me from that has to be excised. If it is money, don't worry about it. That is the easiest one. Let it go. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows those who take refuge in him. Make sure you are taking refuge in the Lord. If anybody seems to be taking refuge in the Lord, don't feel sorry for the person, because you bring a curse upon yourself. The Edomite spirit. The Lord is good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. Make sure, brethren, make sure you take refuge in him. Make sure, when you're making your plans, that's how you know whether you're taking refuge in the Lord or you're not taking refuge in the Lord. I've said many things today. You know, I'm looking at the time. Can we get back to the thing I wanted to say at the beginning? Although, when we're praying the morning, say, I specifically heard my wife say that he planned what he will say. But Lord, but once you put but, Opari, he said, but Lord, that which you have for us, let him say it. And maybe that's what's happening. But you know, he didn't say like, I shouldn't say that one. So let's go back to the other one. I've said that this one, haven't I? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let's read the thing we were saying earlier. Where I began this from. I began, remember, I was explaining to us that you can plot the direction of life by learning from the experiences recorded in the scripture. And I said, you know the kind of spirit you have by the path you choose. I gave a number of illustrations, all right? Predictions I seem to make and the way they just came to pass. And it wasn't because, like I said, it wasn't like prophetic, you're a prophet. You're a prophet with address, like somebody said, you're not a Sunday school teacher. No, that's not why. It's just I observed that this is a pattern in scripture. And the thing you need to know, you know, we're talking about judgment of spirits. Every spirit you drink of has its judgment written. We've talked about that. I don't want to read that scripture again. You know the law of gravity. It's not been invented for your sake. The law put it there before you came on the scene. You know Boyle's law? Who knows Boyle's law? Boyle. Those of you that are dodging chemistry class, I told you, we will catch you when you come for Bible study. Some people say, oh, Pastor, I beg, deep this thing. Why do you think we dodged the class when we were in school? But anyway, Where I'm going is that, you know about Boyle's law, Charles's law, Graham's law, all those laws you learn in physics and chemistry, there are many of them. They were written by the Lord before you came on the scene. Let's talk to the one we all know, the law of gravity. Whether you like it or not, if you come up on top of that, whatever you throw out from that place is going down. So if you throw out your phone,
all right,
now let's suspend the air. It has fallen now. No, well, American counting, we're on third floor right here, right? And outside there is hard floor. So let us assume your phone falls from your hand. Let's suspend it in the air. It's going to fall. And we're having a discussion. If I tell you to break, have I said anything bad? Now, let's leave whether it's bad or good not. Have I said anything wise? What have I said? Something obvious. An obvious truth that everybody knows. Now, the word obvious means clear to be seen. And that's what I'm trying to explain. There are rules in this life. They are obvious if you bother to look. Now, the Bible says, by faith we understand. If you have the eyes of faith, the law of things in this life you will know. I'm going to say something. Many people will not like it because it's a political statement. Is that okay? You know our current president? Our current president? I first heard somebody preach with him. Use him to preach. In around 19... No, he came into power as Lagos governor in 99, right? As at 2000 or 2001, a pastor preached. He said, watch, a young pastor then, he said, watch this man, he's going to go very far. That's 24 years ago. He just said something. There's something that happened. He said, watch this man, he will go very far. It was when he became president, I remember that. He. Now, let me explain something. Oh God, we are streaming, so I can't say many things. And we know we have a president. I don't want to go and... Okay, I can say this, DSS will not be angry. It's long ago. When he first came into Lagos as governor, it was just before I left Lagos. Is that okay? I left Lagos in 2000. He became governor in Lagos in 99. The first 2 years, I remember very well. Most of us didn't like him. There was a reason. I don't want to talk about it. In the midst of that was when a pastor said, watch this man, he will go very far. The reason then was that we felt there were some things too slow. And then personally, it's just gist, okay? I liked Buba Marwa. You know Buba Marwa, for those of you who remember, the current NDLA boss. You know, he was appointed by President Buhari as the head of NDLA. And this president came in, retained him because of the work he's doing, I believe, all right? He retained him as the head of NDLA. Leave him. He was my military administrator when I was in Lagos. We loved him. Colonel Buba Marwa. My God, we loved him. We in Lagos, we all liked him. Then this Nadeko man came. Do you know what they call Nadeko? National. So, because they were anti-military, without him maybe deliberately doing it, he went against a lot of things that the former Milad, military administrator, did. So some of us revolted that why now? You know, where I understand you're fighting for democracy. You've won now, okay. Thank God for your life. But what is all of this like now? Marwa Gardens was renamed MKO Gardens. Original name was Marwa Gardens. Even in Lagos, what you call Keke now, in Lagos was Keke Marwa. He was a good military administrator. We liked him. So whoever came after was at a disadvantage. Especially when you come with democratic power. And we were being ruled by military power, by a good administrator. Do you follow my point? So that's one reason why we had problems with our current president then when he was governor. But in the midst of that, a pastor looked at some things he did, pointed and said, watch this man, he will go very far. I didn't understand what he was saying. Until a few years ago, 2 years ago, next thing, he became president. I now remember what this man said. And he gave, because I'm online now, I don't want to tell you the thing that happened, why he said it. Where I'm going is that there are patterns in scripture. And it was what he observed. He said, look, if a man behaves like this, This is where he's going to get to. There's a spirit of Absalom. There's a way you will plot and plot and plot. At the end of the day, you will hang from a tree. Christians, be careful. You know, like I said, I'm not here. You can't judge somebody, you see, because you don't know what's going on in somebody's heart. That's what Solomon said. As a man thinks in his heart, that's how really he is, not how he appears outside. So if you have a technology for knowing what's going on in somebody's heart, it's okay. But now, so I'm talking about you. You should know what's going on in your heart. And it is you I'm preaching to that you can plot the direction of your life will get to by going through scripture. Because, you see, I've explained that what God is doing, what God did for us is, see, I've sent into this earth, get rid of some spirits, soak in the right spirit. Resist some spirits, soak in the right spirit. I said, be careful the kind of spirits that people try to pass into you. I specifically warned, and I need to warn again. Please, because as it's very common around, I just have to say, the Holy Spirit wants me to say it. Reject the spirit of bitterness and anger. Anger towards people around you, and anger and bitterness towards the place you live in, like Nigeria. You know, when apartheid ended in South Africa, all right? I was telling the story the other day, didn't I realize I didn't finish it, okay? I was telling the story. Many people predicted there would be crisis. Now, you have to understand, generally, where blacks have been oppressed, when you give them power, not because they are black, or just because a lot of times they've been oppressed, okay? When they react against the former masters, it's not funny. I was still watching, listening to the story of Haiti. When the slavery, somebody was analyzing why slavery ended. The part of the problem with slavery was that it became too lucrative. So people were getting as many slaves as possible. And that made the slaves plenty. In Haiti, slave to master ratio was more than 9-1. More than 9-1. Do you get the point? So you have 90% of the population being slaves. What will happen to the 10% who are not slaves? Of course now. They got up one day and killed everybody. They literally killed. They just went out and it lasted for some time. They were just killing at random. Men, women, once you were white, bam, they killed you. They felt that something like that would happen in South Africa. But people were praying. Now, this is where I'm going. Now, all of this is God working. What did God now do? He took Nelson Mandela, gave him wisdom. Some people must have counseled him. People who had insight, who had understanding. The Bible says that, go and read Daniel, what did he say? Those that have insight are the ones that will shine like light in the firmament. Are you getting my point? Yes, people had understanding. They must have counseled him. And they said the only way forward is forgiveness. They said the only way. See, that there's no other way. The man sat down. They now started a truth and reconciliation panel. That, okay, nothing will happen. Just come and confess what happened. If you killed somebody, we will not indict you. You will go free. So they let murderers go free. Why? They needed that spirit. Now, the spirits that were aiming for their country to devastate it was now diverted somewhere else. Those ones got to Rwanda, the spirits, and Burundi, and Congo. And the people were angry at each other. We were calling each other. Now listen, that's why it may sound familiar to you in Nigeria. That's why I used to preach where I was preaching. Cockroaches. Calling cockroaches. Calling a group of people cockroaches. When you start seeing human beings giving names to other human beings, animal names, trouble is brewing. By hand, they killed hundreds of thousands in 100 days. By hand. People killed their neighbors so that, do you know, they did not even know what came upon them. But because they drank his spirit, They drank and angry. The spirit devastated the place. When they were done, cholera now came into the refugee camps and killed thousands more. I still remember one shot from CNN. You see a river, but you can't see the water. It was dead bodies, end to end. So just see the bodies moving up and down. That's how you know there is water. Do you know how they ended it? When the whole war ended, when the current president in Rwanda took power, after they fought. How do we go forward? Do you know one thing he did not do? The average person that took part in it was not dealt with. Commandment, forgive. It's an instruction, forgive. There are people who killed are working for, they are working free today. They looked. Where do we start from? Said the only way forward is forgiveness. In fact, they've done it now. In fact, one of our sisters went there, visited. When she came back and told us some things, I said, don't mind them, it's a lie. Now, why I said it's a lie is that, okay, because we are streaming, I won't say some things. Point to them that they said this, I said, no, that is the new story they are writing. They are trying to write stories so that children will grow up not knowing the difference between one person and another. I said, we are old enough to know the real thing. I said, the story they are painting to you now is a story they are teaching their children so that they will grow up in an integrated country. I hope you are getting my point.
Yes.
What I'm saying is that, you can predict the direction your life is going by the kind of spirit you are drinking. I've seen people say that, this person lived long. So they went and went to lay hands on me. I said, don't worry about hands laying. People living long, all right, the spirit can be transmitted. I'm not saying, but not by the laying of hands. If you want that one, you have to live with the person for at least a month or more. You have to sit down with the fellow. You can't there are some things, I can't lay hands on you to impart the confidence of faith with which life is lived. By laying hands on hands? No. If God give me a confidence of faith, even if I'm not a preacher, and you want that one I have, you have to move around me. Yeah, you have to. I have to become your friend. You have to find opportunities to interact. You have to listen when I talk. See, when you are listening to somebody, you're not just listening for advice. You are drinking. You hear all the time say, drink. I hear a lot of times when maybe somebody is ministering. Let me tell you the truth. I'm speaking now. That's when you are drinking. It's not when we're waving our hands. No. I'm talking. If your heart opens and you are listening, you are drinking. The spirit of faith, did you get my point? That if it is inside me, that's when you are drinking. That's why I keep on telling people, you see, it's not every church you go to. It's not. If you get to a place where they are always, there's one particular prophet. I don't think he's a Christian. When I saw the whole human beings, they said, these guys, they are drinking the spirit of deception every day. Because the guy is obviously a clown. He's a joker. He mocks the spirit of God. He mocks the word of God. And people are sitting down there. They will soon learn anyway. It won't take a long time. The whole place is going to scatter. I wish I could call his name, but I can't. But you should just know ahead that this pattern in the spirit is that he will scatter. That his congregation will scatter. That place where he gathers people will become a desolate land. That's the pattern of the spirit. What I'm explaining that you, as a child of God, you have to ask yourself, what am I? See, ancestral this, ancestral that. It's not what the issue is. It's what are you? Because I need to explain that. I need to say it again. Who is your ancestor? It's not who gave birth to you. No, that one we need to, let's clear that one. It's not who gave birth to you naturally that's your ancestor. It's whose spirit you are drinking of and whose works you are doing. We need to emphasize that. It is whose spirit you are drinking of and whose works you are doing. Let's go back. I want to begin to close. There's a curse upon the spirit of Gehazi. We need to go over it again. You know the story of Gehazi, don't you? The story of Gehazi is very simple. For those who don't, let's just remind ourselves. Gehazi was a servant of Elisha. See, to whom much is given, much is required. So, if you're a servant of Elijah, the yardstick for measuring your life is high. You should know God. You should know the Lord. You see what Gehazi did. If it was done by the servant of Naaman, there would have been no curse. But it was done by the servant of Elisha. It was done by the servant of Elisha that brought a special curse. You can't be around such power of God on a daily basis and you are behaving like that. It's not allowed. What did Gehazi do? He used the name of the prophet. There's what is called blasphemy. He took the name of God essentially and turned it to a money-making thing through fraud. See, who are the descendants of Gehazi? Anybody that does the work of Gehazi, let me tell you. If you're a pastor, you take the anointing of God, used to manipulate people to collect their money. The leprosy of Naaman is yours. You serve a man. Let's stick with ministry. You use the name. You know, there are people who do it. The money to get the name of the ministry registered in another bank and be collecting offering sent. See, why do you wake up in the morning and just be eating leprosy? Just wake up in the morning. Leprosy is what you are eating spiritually. Anybody that does the works of Gehazi is a descendant of Gehazi. Don't forget that. Remember our friend Ananias and Sapphira? Now, do you know anybody who lies like Ananias and Sapphira is under a curse? Whether you're born again or that's not the issue. You're under a curse. Even though you're a believer. I've heard people say that Ananias was not a Christian. Sapphira was not a Christian. Why? Because the Holy Spirit struck them. Holy Spirit does not strike Christians. First, that is not true. It's totally not true. It's totally untrue. Holy Spirit struck them, they were believers. Simon the sorcerer, the Bible testifies that he believed. He was baptized. When Peter said, "You are still in the gall of bitterness and the bondage of iniquity," despite the fact that he had believed. And he said to him, "You will perish, your money will perish." You know, let me tell you. Sorry, can I say this? While Peter is not listening. If you have to offend those days, you should have offended John. You know, this guy's name is John. I think Johns are generally quiet people. Do you know any terrible John in the Bible? Peter is a troublesome one. Who confronted Ananias and Sapphira? Who confronted Simon the sorcerer? He said to him, "You will perish, your money will perish." And that's a fact. That man was going to perish and his money was going to perish. But what saved him was quick repentance. He was saved by it. The reference says something. That you may not see Christians dropping dead every day now. He said, but God has already given you his mind in the death of Ananias and Sapphira. What does that tell you? That death is still loaded. It may not be as quick, but it's still loading. It's a spirit, it has been judged. I hope you're following my point. Who's a descendant of Gehazi? Those who do the work of Gehazi. The people that do the work of Gehazi, they are descendants of Gehazi. Let me go back again briefly, not for long. Edomite spirit. I've been talking about this, the judgment. In fact, I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to warn especially Nigerian Christians because the Edomite spirit is being spread through social media and they are drinking it. This is like the third or fourth time I'm talking about it. When they forward something to you and say you are praying too much, they are giving you the Edomite spirit to drink. when they forward and they explain that, you see, they don't pray in China. Why are you praying? See, you have to understand, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. You can't use the success in worldly kingdoms to tell me how to live a spiritual life. Anybody who believes that is drinking the Edomite spirit. I hope you are getting my point. What is this birthright to me now? For those who don't know, Edom was another name for Esau. The descendants of Esau are the Edomites. Do you get my point? They are the Edomites. What is the Edomite spirit? Another part of the Edomite spirit. Anyone who says, what is this thing to me now? Seeing that I'm about to die, give me food. And they take some that is valuable. First, they are best right. But beyond best right, and that's what I'm explaining. Beyond best right is anything that God blesses you with. They pay you salary. You call it chicken change. It's an Edomite spirit. It is an Edomite spirit. Be very, very careful. Learn to value. See, they give you 5 loaves. They give you 5 loaves and 2 fish. And you have thousands to feed. Don't grumble. What did I say? What do? You give thanks. You give thanks. Another thing. Anyone who's full of gratitude has drunken the spirit of persistent divine provision. Remember, I told you every spirit has a judgment. It doesn't mean it's always a bad judgment. It can be a blessing. For example, who's a descendant of Abraham? Anyone who does the work of Abraham. You know, this morning when I was coming, I was tempted actually to teach about that thing again. Righteousness by faith. I was tempted. But let me just drop something about it, all right? We're talking about spirits. There's a spirit of God that was manifested in the life of Abraham. You know what it's called? It's called the spirit of righteousness. The spirit of righteousness is the spirit of trust, is the spirit of faith, is the spirit that takes anything that God says as final on any matter. And anything that you trust God, you know, we're saying it earlier, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. Anyone who takes refuge in the Lord, the Bible makes it clear the person will never be ashamed. That's the person he called righteous. He said, I have been young, now I'm old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his children beg for bread. I've explained. He didn't say those who have worldly standards of righteousness and accomplished. It means those who God speaks and their whole life is built around what God says. It was written not only for Abraham, but for everyone who are of the faith of Abraham, who even though they are, now listen to this, even though they are comfortable, God says, leave her. And they pack and they move. Later on, please, I'll teach about it, how to make decisions that please the Lord. Not Pastor Banking 10, not on Saturday here. Because it matters to God. It matters to God that you want to park your car here, but because the Lord said you don't park there. It matters to God that you wanted to spend money on something. But you remember, there was this message I heard, though. In it, the Holy Spirit was saying, then you don't spend money on it. It matters to the Lord. You want to get married. Everybody said, this is the kind of person to marry. But you now remember that there was a message you heard. And as that word was coming forth, the scripture said this to you. You know, when we talk about the will of God, it's funny. Do you know, if you want to know the will of God, you will know it. The only reason why you don't know God's will is that you don't want to know. Did you hear what I said? No. You didn't get it. People that, but I want to know, no, they really don't want to know. Do you get my point? They really. You know, because knowing has implications. There's defense in ignorance. You have to be able to say that, God, I did not know. So really, people, that's where they like to hide. So many times people say they want to know God's will. They really don't want to know. And it is that wanting to know that God is working on. What am I talking about it? See, if you really want to know, if you really want, when you get to the point of wanting to know, you will always know. You will always know. When we went on radio, First and Kingdom World went on radio, Way of Success on Cosmo FM, I didn't hear a voice. I desired to go on radio, something like, but then when I went to the radio station and I heard the, you know, when they say, okay, bring this amount of money, you ask them, did I tell you I wanted to sell something? They said, no, that's the cost. I said, ah, to broadcast the gospel. Don't people understand that we are preaching the word of God and it's free? I left. Then one day, I was waiting for my wife in church. And a message was preaching. I do that a lot. I just left the tape playing. I was waiting for her. She was doing something, a meeting. I was waiting for her in the car. And I was listening to the message. And then, till today, if you ask me what the man said, I can't remember. But what I heard was time to get on radio. And I went back to Cosmo FM of those days. And they said that their MD then was not in town. And the acting MD said to them that these pastors have money. Collect. I don't know whether you're getting my point. So they gave me a discount to be able to come in. Do you know I found out later? When the original MD came back, he was upset that somebody, if you may have forgotten, those days, Kingdom Word was the only preaching program on Cosmo FM. It wasn't because other preachers didn't try to come in. It was that before that time, they had a technical ban on it. When I first went, the lady I talked to, I saw the other costs. I saw their sheets. Preaching looks expensive. So I said, look, why are you guys charging people selling alcohol and all of that less than those of us who want to preach? She closed the book and said, let me tell you the truth, Pastor. My God doesn't want preachers. That bill is partly to deter you guys from coming. I said, are you serious? So by the time I came, there's that guy I met on the seat. The guy said, I've been authorized to negotiate by another MD, that was acting. So we negotiated, and then they gave me the price. Now, by the time we went on air, by the time the original MD came back, he was upset that who put a preacher on our radio station? Now, let me tell you how the story gets sweet. Now, those of you who know, you know. You know who owned the radio station. Don't say it loud, but you remember. His sister, her pastor tried to come on the radio station, and they refused. That MD refused. I found out later. Now listen to this. The refusing MD, are you getting me? One day he met me. We met in New Haven. So somebody introduced me to him that, oh, you know, so and so person? No, okay, that's him. Oh, hello, sir. Nice to meet you. He said, oh, you are Pastor Banky. He said, thank you for that program. He was listening. He had become a listener. Later on, when he headed another radio station in town, he actually reached out to me that we need to talk. Years later. The man is late now. That time when he met me, he said, thank God. He said, thank you for what you are doing. Then he pulled down his shirt. I remember, he pulled down his shirt for me to look. And he showed me where a bullet passed through here and turned his back for me to see where it came out. How people shot at him. He said, maybe if they had heard you, they wouldn't be going around shooting people. Yeah, that's what he said. I'm telling you the words, what he told me. He pulled down his shirt for me to see. Where a bullet passed through. God just saved the life. For those of you who know, if that bullet had moved, there were major vessels to break. They would have died before they got to hospital. That was the same person that said they didn't want preachers. What I'm talking about is that, do you know, how did I get on air? I heard somebody preach. I was just listening to a message. And at the end of the message, I heard the direction of the Spirit. What I'm trying to say is this. Do you know, there are times you are hearing the word, you will... Can I just beg you, when the Spirit speaks, it may be hard to obey, carry it to go and pray, but never throw it away. You know, like I keep saying, God's mercy does not bring blessing, no. It only suspends judgment. Only obedience brings blessings. Let me say it now so I can close. God's mercy never brings blessings. It only suspends what? Judgment. It is the Lord's mercy. It's of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. That's why you need goodness and mercy. Mercy alone doesn't bless people. Mercy just shields you from judgment. It just shields you from judgment. Anytime judgment is coming, mercy says, wait. And listen to me. Mercy only says one thing. Give him time. Give her time. Because the only way the blessing will come is through obedience. I'll say it one more time and I close. The only way the blessing comes is through what? Obedience. It never comes if you don't obey. Never. The blessing does not exist that comes without obedience. That's what it's called grace. Grace is not, people say, oh, I'm a product of grace. I'm like, what do you mean by product of grace? To be a product of grace means there was a word God gave that you obeyed. That is what it means to be a product of grace. Product of mercy is that I have done a lot that deserved judgment. I should have died, but I'm still here. Thank God for his mercy. That is true. But grace means, brethren, I was in awe. Then God said, move. Then I moved. And then now, these are my descendants. I have become a father of many nations. That is grace. It means that I did not do it by myself, but I obeyed. I obeyed something that he said. That's why I'm where I am. You know I'm talking about that? Brethren, do you want to be blessed? You need to strive to know what God wants you to obey. Yeah, it's something you must wake up every morning. God, what am I supposed to obey? There's general obedience. Love your neighbor. Don't worry about tomorrow. It's there. Depart from iniquity. It's there. There's one, that one is baseline general. But there's a time God will come. He can tell you that, oh yeah, where you have where you have walked long there enough. Or this is a funny part. Do you know? He can come, say, you want to resign. Say, why? Say, they're not paying me enough. Say, sit down there. They're not going anywhere. And your car starts smoking. You're on the way to your guy's office. I'm talking to somebody who knows what I'm saying. You're driving to your boss's office to go and resign, to his house to go and resign. So, can no go take him again? One ninja said, park. You don't want to park. He sets the car on invisible fire. You know what they call burning bush? Some people here have seen burning car. There was fire on the car, but the car was not consumed. Say amen if you know what I'm talking about. No, 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 you don't know. The rest of you don't know. Just wait. Say amen if you know what I'm talking about. Uh-huh. The man was driving to his guy's house to go and have a showdown. Then the car filled with smoke. So he quickly stopped. Next day, went to the electrician. They checked the car top to bottom. Nothing was wrong. You know what happened? When the angel entered, turned to smoke. Angels are funny. It's in the Bible. It makes ministers spirits. They just turn to smoke. Why do you think Jacob could not leave Laban all those years? Some of us think it's discipline. Jacob was not disciplined. Jacob, discipline. Are you okay? How can you equate Jacob and no now in the same sentence? Doesn't work. Why Jacob did not leave Laban's house? For those who do not know, let me tell you. It is because one angel, the angel of the covenant, came to him and said, where are you going? He said, my guy is bad. He said, you are worse. So what do you mean? Sit down there. And the angel disappeared. And then they'll say, another 7 years, the angel showed up again. Say, I can go now, finish paying for the second wife. He said, no, you're broke. If you go now, you have nothing. And it's not yet time to return to the house. Walk some more. Ah, Jacob looked like, what is going on here? The angel disappeared again. So Laban said, name your wages. So they negotiated. The angel came on, they said, don't worry. I will pay you now. Everything that has been, all the work you did for the last 20 years, I'm going to pay. So what happened? He said, this is what you will do. What's the arrangement? Spotted, no spot, and all of that. I said, no problem. We're going to arrange that. That's genetic engineering. They'll discover it 6,000 years later, or is it 4,000 years later? They'll discover it. Don't worry. I will genetically engineer them. They are plain, he gave to me. But I can only take spotted animals. Say, that's not the problem. That's what they call recessive genes and epigenetic modifications. I will handle that. They say, what am I supposed to do? He said, when they come to water, that's when they mate. Go to the watering site. Take sticks like this and peel them and draw any pattern. Do you know what they call adire? You learn it in Nigeria in a few thousand years' time. Draw any pattern you like. I'll make them into their genes. Now, it may sound funny, And I may not be 100% accurate in the timing or the way they said it, but I'm telling you by the Spirit of God, this is exactly what happened. Not everything was recorded overtly for you in scripture like that. Then finally, the angel came one day. You have become rich. You have become abundant. You have two wives, two concubines, and all these sons. And of course, they had daughters. They just now counted, apart from one that was told us about. Now pack everybody and move. It will be dangerous. I'll be with you on the way. And you know, I can tell you, Laban testified when he chased after Jacob. It was the Spirit of God. It's an angel. God came to him in a dream. When you get there, watch yourself. And Laban got the point. That same angel went to Esau. When Esau was coming, he wasn't coming to greet. Esau said, he has come. 419. Let's pay him back. An angel showed up. Your brother is coming. He said, yes. If you don't want me to destroy you, you're going to treat him nicely. So that's what talk you are seeing from Esau. It's angel. It's angelic. So where I'm going is that when you're talking about the word of God, it's not only live. There are times it says stay. There are wives who have said, I'm going. God said, cross that express. If you make it to the other side, I'm not God. You see a woman just suddenly park, enter the house and sit down. Just by say, honey, so you came back? Yes, I came back. I just realized that he didn't realize nothing. They don't want now. They don't want. See, they don't want now. Look, if you go outside, you will see the angels. Now, what I'm telling you, please, brethren, I'm not joking. Sometimes we talk about this and we laugh. And I'm not joking. One of our sisters gave a testimony. I said, angels walk around. No, Peter had to tell. Be nice to people. He said, people have entertained angels without knowing. Many people listen to me today. You have given angels a lift. Angels have given you a lift. You have given angels food. You have helped an angel. And these guys go around counting things. When they enter into Sodom, maybe Abraham entertained them, right? Without knowing. Sodomites harass them without knowing. Just make it a point in your life. Be nice to everybody. That's the rule there. Be nice to everybody. They are around. I know what I'm telling you. One of us that told the testimony, I was like, my God. She said, she was a good girl, you know, very nice church girl. Didn't do the things of the world and all of that. But one day, Satan came to her. Said, look at you. All your friends have enjoyed themselves and all that. Just there, you are doing church. What has God done for you? So she made up her mind that day that this is the last day of this church and Christian thing. And she left school and she was going home. And she stood waiting for a bus. And one man stood opposite her. She was telling this story. Not that I heard from somewhere. I was hearing her. I said, what? That one man stood opposite the road and called out to her. You didn't know the man. Hello. Like you, yeah, the one I'm calling. Missa, yes, you. Yes, I just want to tell you, that life you have been living is the correct life. Don't let it go. I said, yeah. And after that, maybe boss came. She didn't see the man again. That life you have been living is the correct life. Is the true life. Don't let go of it. The day she made up her mind, she was stopping. So when I'm talking about angels, brethren, I'm not joking. And don't think God only comes to say, take food, take money. There are times he comes and say, what food do you have there? Say, Lord, only two gala. Say, give me one. Are you going to multiply it? No. Two is too much for you. You'll be too full. You won't think well. Say, at least, can I have a cup? No. There's water there. Drink it. Say, tomorrow you bring plenty. No. Half gala. Better eat this one with Thanksgiving. You eat it. God say, I'm watching you. Better rejoice. Be dancing. As you're eating it, the more you dance, the more I increase it. So when you dance and dance and now increase to two bars, say, you are still dancing. We say, relax, you dance. You don't do. You are getting only two. But that too you will get every day with intense dancing and gratitude. People think God, when they comes to give, they collect. See how many shares you get? You say, like, look at this wood, they have five. You get two. Say, come. See that man that's digging in front of your house? He doesn't have any. When you see him digging naked, it's not because of he wants to walk. He doesn't have. So those two you have. Give me one. No, I'm telling you what he does. There are times you hear the voice. There are times it doesn't tell you anything. You just see it. You just be joking one day. Say, what? You don't get shit. Every time you're here digging. I've never seen you go naked, come naked. The guy looks, oh, God, not get shit. Hey, wait, you mean literally? Yes. You don't have any at all? I don't have. I just come from a village last week. Police will be looking at you like this. We'll be looking at you. Police won't say anything. You already have enough spoken. Jesus has said, if you have two shirts, is it not in your Bible? You will look at the guy. Okay, wait, enough, wait. My friends are calling, we have to go now. Then you will stand there, remove the bed. You know, there are two you have. One is very nice. It's clean. That's the newest one you bought. That's the one you are wearing, that you will remove it and give him. And return to your house to go and fetch the old one and wear. God does it. One man did something to me one day. Old Kingdom World. Just finished, we came down. I had this nice pair of, you know, slippers. This, what do you call them? Those kush kush. Those soft ones. Eh? Flip-flops, yes. Yeah. You know, those flip-flops. This very nice one. This was given to me by my wife's uncle. He brought it from the U.S. I never wore anything more comfortable. Very nice. I used to wear, I wore it all the time. So one day, we came down. Our Old Kingdom were there. I came down. I stood beside my car, wanted to enter. One guy walked past. He stopped. He looked at me and smiled. I was looking at him like, what's the problem? He pointed at my slippers. The guy pointed at my slippers. These slippers I just described to you. He had this smile on his face. And I looked at his own slippers, torn, tattered, you know, pieces, just dragging it along. So he looked at my slippers and pointed like, that's how he pointed. I said, this? He nodded. I said, no. I dipped my hand in my pocket. I brought out money. As I counted money to give him, to go and buy his own, he shook his head. He pointed there. I said, which kind of human being is this guy? See, I brought money out. Say, come, oh boy. This one is from New York. I'm not, you know, this is DKNY. Do you get my point? I'm not. I said, this thing is from New York. I'm serious. I still remember his name. Very fine, nice, comfy. The guy shook his head. The money I offered him, he said no. He pointed at it. Brethren, I removed the slippers. Gave it to him. He didn't say a word to me. He smiled, took his old ones, threw them away, wore my two, and continued his way with him. He didn't say a word. He didn't greet me, didn't say thank you. Whether it was normal, whether it was not normal. Brother, I'm telling you, Otigba Junction there. You know, that's when you know you're a Christian. It was ordinary slippers, but I just look at this guy, this mysterious human being. He just smiled. The Lord takes. He takes. Bow down your head. Say, Lord, whatever you want that I have, you can have. I need you to pray that prayer. Tell the Lord, whatever you want that I have, you can have it. Today I drink the spirit of submission. So Lord, is there a place where I want to live? And you say, no, don't go. Lord, give me the stay, the power to stay. I know you need to pray that prayer. You need to pray that prayer. Maybe there's a place where I want to live. Sometimes the house you want to park out of because you don't like the landlord. Because his light is about to park. Do you like that? You leave that place, darkness comes into that compound. Stay. It's not comfortable, I know. But I said stay. No further explanation. Just stay. When it was time for Jacob to leave, he knew it was time to leave. But until that time, the Lord said what? Stay. So you are listening to me. Your word is stay. You know, the world has now magnified you above principles. So every little thing is an abusive marriage now. Every little thing is an abusive marriage. So parking spirit has entered many people. I give you the word of God today. Stay. Let's not even talk about the jackpot spirit. Everybody thinks they must be the one to jackpot. Foolish. The worst thing is foolish jackpot. Wake up in the morning. You park from where you are uncomfortable to where you don't know. Because somebody told you. The person I was telling you about earlier. The person that invited the family to come abroad had to tell them to leave the house. Of course, they couldn't keep house in such a large family. Don't be foolish. You live where it is uncomfortable, to a place you do not know. To a place you do not know. And you think you are wise. You're not wise, you are foolish. If you want to believe God for goodness sake. You say, no, God will take care of me there. What's wrong with him taking care of you where you are? The Lord gives, the Lord takes. The Lord tells to move, the Lord also says to stay. There are different ones. But say to the Lord, please, give me your own word. Give me your word. Say, Lord, give me your word.